Hello, and welcome back to Crime Cat's True Crime Podcast. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Jessica.
And today we'll be telling you a crazy story of luck, greed, and cold-blooded murder. Thanks for listening to us, and please follow us on social media and let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook at Crime Cats, a True Crime Podcast, where we also have an awesome discussion group. We are also on Instagram at crimecats.truecrime and Twitter at crimecatspod. Thanks again for listening.
Welcome back to Crime Cats. So, sorry we've been MIA for a while. Things have been pretty crazy in our lives. I've been going through a pretty big transition. I have left my job where I've been for 8 years.
That's a long time.
It was pretty stressful because they're like my family, and leaving and saying bye to them was really hard.
Yeah.
My boss, she was not very happy. She's still not very happy with me, but she's like my surrogate
like
mother,
yeah.
So she'll get over it,
yeah,
especially once. The reason I'm leaving is because I want insurance, because I want a baby. So she, once she has a baby in her hands, she'll be like, I'm so glad you quit.
Yeah, right? So I'm ready for that baby.
Me too.
I don't want any more of my own, but I want other people's children to hold.
Aunt Jackie.
Yeah. I've never been like a real aunt. Like, well, I mean, my brother has a child, but I don't.
That kind of makes you a real aunt.
I mean, it would be if I ever last met the kid like once. Like, I don't have a relationship with my dad's side of the family, and I'm an only child to my mom. So I live vicariously through my friends' children.
Gotcha.
And they all call me Aunt Jackie. So it's pretty cool.
Well, you'll definitely be Aunt Jackie to my kids.
Of course.
So my new job is pretty interesting. It's, I've always been in respiratory, so this job is, like, about the opposite side, like, the business side of respiratory. So it's, like, doing orders for oxygen supplies and oxygen and ventilators and
you don't have
nebulizers
to deal with the patients directly anymore.
I do, because they come into our office.
Okay.
Which is why I get to dress nice every day.
Ooh, you're looking fancy lately.
Yeah, it's fun. I like dressing up and not wearing scrubs. That's great.
Yeah. Half the time at my work, I look like a homeless person. So unless I have a meeting, and then I'll put something nice on. But yeah, work is work. You know.
So what else is going on in your life?
Not a whole lot. We
haven't seen each other, guys. So that's what we got to talk about.
I know. We haven't been spending as much time together as we normally do.
I know. I hate it.
Work is crazy. Still working 24/7, and then with the holidays, the kids. You know, and school plays and all that stuff and holiday festivities. Well, I think the last time we really hung out was when we went to go see the tree lighting in Spanish Fort.
Sure, that was fun.
That was fun. And then we went to, and then after that we went to see my boyfriend Rob, his band, the Handsome Scoundrels, play
at awesome.
Chizuko in Pensacola. And then I surprised him in Montgomery. The next day, I drove all night. That was fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
What a big shock.
That was.
To him.
It was
intense,
I'm sure. Yeah. That was pretty fun. It was cool. And then we also went to Bellengrath Gardens, which
I've always wanted to go
there. It's so fun. We're going back next week with all the kids and stuff. You want to come?
What day?
19th, Thursday.
Nice. We'll have to look at
the
calendar.
So, yeah. And then I don't know. I'm just trying to get in the Christmas spirit, watching Christmas movies.
The Grinch.
I watched Noel on Disney Plus.
I've seen that.
So it's pretty cute. It's got Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader.
Kendrick and I love Bill.
Yeah,
Hader.
It's really cute. I liked
it
a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. With the glasses.
Uh huh. And it was funny. I liked it. But they're both pretty funny. I know you've been watching The Mandalorian.
Yes.
And so have I.
Who hasn't?
Right? Let's be real.
It's the best.
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda is the best thing that's happened to 2019.
I know.
It's the best.
I swear to God, if anything happens to Baby Yoda, I will fucking revolt.
There's no way that Disney would do that, though.
Oh, we'll burn the castle down. But,
they know a cash cow when they see one. And they see that Baby Yoda is going to bring so much money to them.
It's true. But it's also Disney. Things die.
That's true. But it's also sad. Not Game of Thrones and not all the best characters die.
This is true. It's always just like the mom or dad. So I guess Mando's going to die.
No!
Okay, speaking of Game of Thrones, does everybody know that the Mandalorian is Prince Oberyn from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, you just told me that. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
And now once you listen to him, you can hear it. And it's funny.
Shoot. He looks good in that armor, though, I'm telling you.
He sure does.
I don't care. He don't have to take his helmet off.
I really thought she was going to take his helmet off,
though. I didn't think they were going to do that that soon. That's a little much.
True.
I've been catching up on some true crime podcasts, but I actually listened to a really good one the other day. It was Wondery did it.
I love Wondery.
The Mysterious Mr. Epstein.
Ooh.
It was all about Jeffrey Epstein.
I'm going to have to check that
out. It was good. I think I binged it all in one day. It was only like 5 or 6 episodes.
Wow.
It was pretty good.
Definitely going to have to check that out.
Yeah, but yeah, we haven't really been doing a whole lot, just hanging out with our families, Christmas time. We're probably going to take a little hiatus for the rest of the year. This will probably be our last episode until 2020.
Yeah, I'm in training at work, and it's just pretty intense.
Yeah.
And I, you know, writing episodes takes a lot of my life away.
Yeah,
it so does. It's a lot of time and research, and because I want to make sure all the information is right. I'm not going to just copy and paste off Wikipedia.
Well, you know, some other people got in trouble for that.
Yeah, I ain't trying to sources. Try to do that, so.
Yeah, so we'll probably take a break, you know, for the rest of the year. This will be our last 2019 episode, and I hope that in 2020 we can amp it up and hopefully do more for you guys. We'll still do our bi-weekly episode, but maybe release some.
I'm only going to have 2 jobs, though, so I'm not going to have 3, so that'll be helpful.
Yeah. Well, I hope that, you know, you have a baby, too, so you never know.
So then I can take even more time off work.
Yeah. So this is our last episode for 2019. What are your goals for 2020?
Ooh, I love it. Okay, so my goals, my last year's goals were to lose weight. So this year, I crushed those goals.
Tell everybody.
76 pounds in 2019.
That's freaking awesome.
And that was my goal. My goal was to lose weight. I didn't set a certain amount. I wanted to lose 100, but I didn't set that goal because I was like, that's an insane amount. That's like crazy. But
you almost hit it.
I really almost did. So I'm proud of myself. I really am. But in 2020, my goal is to get healthier. Not that I'm not healthy now, because I am. But I want to eat less, like, packaged foods.
Yeah. You were doing more of the dirty keto.
And I want to eat more whole foods. I want to cook even more. I want to make sure I meet my goals on my water every day, because I'm trying to drink, like, half my body weight in water.
I don't think I've had water all day.
I
don't think I have.
96 ounces of water today.
I've had 3 cups of coffee and...
Plus 2 cups of coffee.
I've had 3 cups of coffee, however many of these White Claws we made, like 4 White Claws, and probably a Coke and 0.5.
Oh, gotta do better on your water, man.
I have not drank any water today.
I'll start reminding you.
Yeah, you can be my little reminder app.
Hey there, drink your water.
Yeah, really, I do need to drink some more
water. So what's your goals? Is that one of your goals, hopefully?
Okay, so my goals can be to drink more water.
Yes.
I started losing some weight and trying to get more fit. I don't want to just lose weight. I want to build muscle and get stronger. So that's still my goals. I've lost 20 pounds so far. I've got 20 to 25 more to go before I hit my goal weight. But I'm not really looking at the scale because I know muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah,
so,
true that.
I mean, I want to burn. It's just going to depend on how I look. I just want to be happy when I look in the mirror. Yeah. I want to be happy when I look in the mirror, but I want to build more muscle for sure. And find more time to work out, because I don't think I've worked out in like over a week.
I haven't either, but I was sick. And then
I just haven't had time. Like, I've just been 500 different places at once. So that's my goal, to regularly work out more. And I don't know. I don't know. I have some pretty big things in mind, but I'm going to set some realistic goals and just get healthier. And
well, I think having unrealistic goals is like hard because like I have so many too that I'm like, well, I want to be able to do these because I set expectations for myself that are just unattainable.
Right. And then you get crushed when you don't.
Exactly.
I think another goal of mine this year is I want to travel more.
Yeah.
I want to take the kids on a lot of like little weekend getaways. I want to go.
Instead of spending money on material things, spending on.
Yeah. Well, I can't say much. I just spent $50 on getting my nails done. But
girl, I did my own nails. They look great.
Right? I don't know. There's just something about me getting my nails done that make me feel like me.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I know. You know what I mean? I did it for 12 months. Out of last
year. Yeah, I took a couple months break and I kind of felt depressed.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm missing my sparkle.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't do a whole lot of makeup looks this year.
No, you did. You definitely need
I kind of took a break from that. This year kicked me in the ass a little bit.
Well, you went through a hard time sometimes.
But
you've also
the
had
past like
really,
three or four
you really killed it in the end.
It's been great. Yeah, the end of the year has finished out pretty strong, and I'm really
on a super
happy.
High note.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the way things are going, and so yeah, I just want to continue losing weight, getting fit, healthy, and travel more.
Yeah,
I want to go to. I know me and Rob talked about going to Seattle and Portland and stuff. So that'd be fun. And going up to Nashville to see a hockey game. We want to watch the Predators. And I want to take the kids to, what's that place up in North Alabama with the caves?
DeSoto Caverns.
Yeah. And I want to do a small.
I need to ride with you because I want to do that.
Yes, let's go. We could take me, you, Cullen and the kids and. That'd be super fun. I love doing stuff like that. We didn't go on our trip this year
because
we got so much. I mean, we should go up there and do that. And then I want to do a small little Disney trip.
We'll see. It sounds expensive.
Well, I mean, for me and my kids, at least.
Yeah, you guys go.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go.
I'll live vicariously for you.
Maybe just for like a 3 or 4 day thing. Not super long, but. Yeah. Lily's jealous that Brody got to go for his birthday, so I kind of have to do it. But yeah, travel more, work out more, drink more water.
Hell yeah.
That's my top three.
Everyone should have drink more water. I'm just an advocate for water, so
yeah.
You guys will probably get sick of me talking about that because it's going to be a lifetime thing.
It's fine. All right, well, that's our wrap-up of 2019.
Yeah.
I think that the end of the year was super strong. And we started the podcast.
Yes, our top thing that we've always wanted to do, and now we did it. So
I think, okay, so what are our goals for the podcast?
Our goals
year?
For the podcast are, I really want to do some, like, less-known cases first. Mm-hmm. That's one really one. But I also want to tackle some of the bigger cases, too.
Yeah.
Which
one of the biggest ones that you want to do? I feel like a lot of them have been done to death.
I know.
You know, like Lacey Peterson.
No.
You know what hasn't really been done a whole lot?
What?
But everybody has the same opinion. JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, everyone knows that the brother did it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I want to do some of the more unsolved things because you know that's my jam.
Yeah.
I love the unsolved things. And a lot of people don't like it, but, you know, this is our podcast, so.
Get over
Sorry.
It. Don't listen. This is what we're doing. I would like to, because I do all the editing and stuff like that, and I know it's kind of shitty right now, guys, and I'm sorry, but.
We're learning.
I don't know. Jumping into this, we didn't know shit.
Not at all. We literally learned from Google everything that we know.
So I Google and YouTube everything. So I really like to work on the editing and make it sound better. We got to get a studio
new song,
and we want a new song. So
we
anybody
really
out there who wants to write us an 80s synth wave
like
song,
like,
please do,
like on keyboards, like really just retro.
Okay, think Stranger Things.
Yes, very Stranger Things.
That's what we want.
Yes.
So, if anybody out there wants to,
we love the butt
solid,
rock, but it's a it's getting kind
it
of.
It was
old.
Just a last minute thing that we picked out because
and we
the person
it.
That the person that we was going to write us a song, didn't finish it
in time. He did, but it wasn't what we wanted.
So, yeah. Anybody, I mean, we'll pay you. We want a new opening song. So, yeah, and I'm not very musically talented.
I am not at all. I mean, I can sing, kind of.
I can not do any of that.
We don't want singing. We don't want lyrics. We just want the music.
We just want the music. So, yeah, if any of you people.
And only about like 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
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 So yeah. Come on, guys. Send it to us.
Write us a song.
Write us a song.
Please. I'm tired of using the one we have. So, yep. And I think my other goal for the podcast is better studio setup.
Yeah.
Better.
Real microphones.
Well, yeah. I like the way these sound, though.
These do sound pretty good.
But, yes. And we need to have a more regular schedule and get our shit together.
Well, I just feel like it's hard for me because I don't have a schedule. Like,
I don't either.
Husband leaving for a week and then home for a week. It's like I'm on vacation every other week when he's here, and it's hard for me to like be like, okay, this is the way things are, because he's just
this is the
too,
way.
He's too fun, so he always wants to go out and do fun things. So
yeah, but yeah, we'll get there. You guys just got to be patient with us. I promise it's going to get better in 2020. It's going to be our year.
Yes.
It's going to be freaking awesome, and I'm super excited about it all.
Yep.
So, yep, we're going to get into it now.
Yeah, this case that we have for you guys is crazy. Jackie hasn't read anything about it.
She wouldn't let me. I don't know anything about this. She wanted all of my reactions to be authentic. And if you guys haven't caught on, we were going to switch off a little bit back and forth telling cases, but I just like talking shit so much.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to be
the commentator. So you get to listen to me talk my shit. You get to listen to Jessica tell her story.
And I love stories. Yep. So here we go. So today I'm going to be telling you guys the story of Abraham Lee Shakespeare. This case originally I saw on Snapped a while back.
Man, I love that show.
I know.
That was my jam when I was like 13. I thought I was going to grow up and kill my husband. I could have, you know.
Time isn't over yet. Watch out, Rob.
No, not that one.
But another reason I wanted to do this case is because our lovely loyal listener, Nicole Lee King, suggested it to us. And I saw it on there and that kind of rekindled. I was like, oh, I know that story. That's a good one.
I've never heard of it.
So then I researched it again.
Excited.
And I was like, hell yeah, this is the one. So this story is crazy. His name again is Abraham Lee Shakespeare.
Okay.
Yes, you heard any that name right.
Any relation to no. Abraham Lincoln or William Shakespeare?
No, yes. And you did hear that right. Don't get it confused, though, because there's nothing poetic about the story.
Ooh.
If anything, it is a tragedy and not a comic tragedy.
Oh.
So, in 2006, it was supposed to be the luckiest year for an American casual laborer and truck driver from Sebring, Florida, named Abraham Lee Shakespeare. But what started as a blessing quickly turned into a curse. On November 15th, 2006, Shakespeare bought lottery tickets from a convenience store. Little did he know that that ticket would be his eventual demise.
Dun, dun, dun.
On that day, Shakespeare and a coworker, Michael Ford, were headed towards Miami when they stopped briefly at a convenience store in Frostproof to buy drinks and cigarettes. Ford got out of the truck and asked Shakespeare if he wanted a soda. Shakespeare instead asked Ford to buy him two lottery tickets. Shakespeare said that he paid Ford $2 for the tickets out of the $5 that he had on him that day. One of those tickets ended up being the $30 million winning ticket.
No shit.
$30
million. Me and Rob just had this conversation like a couple of weeks ago about what we would do if we won the lottery.
What would you do?
You know what I would do, honestly? I would set up my whole family and friends. Like, I'd make sure your house was completely paid for or your cars were paid for, and I'd give you some cash to do whatever you wanted
with.
That's
awesome.
And I would do that for my mom, and I would do it for all of my close friends and family, make sure they're solid and set. I'd be like, look, here's $1 million.
That's why I love you. You're so
generous. Do what you want with it, but don't ever hit me up again. I just gave you $1 million.
Like, right.
That's, you're cut off.
Honestly, I'd be super conservative with it, and I would pay off me and my close friends, husband, you know, all of my family, close family, our house, our car, and then probably move to Fairhope on the Bluff.
Ooh, pretty, yes.
And that would be it.
Yeah, I'd buy I've always wanted to restore an old sports car.
Ooh.
So, like, I'd buy, like, a Trans Am or a Camaro or
nice.
Something like that.
You
totally
know,
redo it.
It's kind of ridiculous, but my favorite car is a Nissan Murano. And that's, I know, that's lame.
That is so big, but it's you. It's you.
It's the upgraded version of my current car,
it
the
is.
Rogue, but it's bigger and nicer and rounder.
For whatever reason. I like them, but
I would get like
it's
the newest
100%
one.
You with your Ugg boots and your pumpkin spice latte.
Right.
That's why I love you.
Well, Abraham opted for a lump sum. He ended up with $17 million.
Ooh,
so when you
good.
Win the lottery, you can either choose the lump sum or you can be paid X amount
over
so many
years.
X amount of years, yes.
What would you do?
I would do the long term, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have to calculate it.
Because you would get more money long term.
Okay, let's put this into perspective. True crime perspective. What if you get the lump sum? Somebody finds out you won the lottery and kills your ass.
Exactly.
You would only get your money for like a short period of time.
Yeah.
So if you took the payout, not the lump sum.
Right.
You get all your money for a short period of time. Instead, if you would have taken the lump sum, you would have been able to invest it in something and then pass that after you died, pass that money on to your friends or family or kids.
I don't know.
See, I got some logics going on. I've thought about this.
I don't know what would be the best. But, you know, who knows if Abraham made the right decision or not because of his family and friends. You'll see later on why I say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Soon after hitting the jackpot is where his problems began.
Ain't that always what happens, man?
Right. His coworker, Michael Ford, that was with him the day he won, demanded that Shakespeare should share his jackpot of no less than $1 million with Shakespeare. He said, no, man, I'm not sharing it with you just because you bought the ticket with my money. So Ford sued him, alleging that Shakespeare stole the lottery tickets out of Ford's wallet.
What?
But the jury didn't believe him. The jury was with Abraham Shakespeare. So the court dropped the case. But amid all his legal troubles, Shakespeare's life had completely changed, as you can well imagine, after winning $17 million.
Yeah.
I just really can't even fathom $17 million.
That'd be pretty sweet, though.
Shakespeare did indulge a little bit, but mostly he was pretty conservative with his money. He did leave his old, modest neighborhood and move to a gated community. And he, like I said, did splurge a little bit in buying a $1 million home.
I don't know if I'd go like that crazy.
Yeah.
I'd want to get into real estate though, in general. Like I would buy
like
homes.
Properties.
Yeah. I would buy properties and rent them out and flip them and stuff like that.
Right.
I would have fun with that.
Another big difference, in Shakespeare's life was he met a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Of
How
course.
Convenient.
Right.
Right.
Her name, but she was actually really nice. Her name was Centoria Butler. He also bought a new BMW and a Rolex watch from a pawn shop. So he was being smart in buying the Rolex watch from a pawn shop instead of from Rolex, which would cost double.
Sure. You know. Yeah.
Things moved quickly with Centoria. And shortly after she moved in with him, she was pregnant with Shakespeare's first child.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very generous man with his friends and family, giving away money, cars, and even homes to people.
See, I would only do that, like I said, to my close people that I knew that had been there for me, regardless of
right.
me having money or not.
But people were coming out of the woodworks for him.
They always do.
Mm-hmm.
I could have probably second cousin 3 sheets up the wind, Mississippi River, that's going
right.
to come for me.
3 years after his big lottery win, his fortune was draining fast, and his friends said Shakespeare had grown pretty frustrated with the apparently constant appeals for money from family, friends, and even strangers.
That's when you learn to say no to right? people. Fuck off.
Mm-hmm. He told his brother, "I'd have been better off broke," and told a childhood friend, "I thought all these people were my friends, but then I realized all they wanted was money."
Of course. And your friends just, are who you had before you had the money.
I know. And it's just sad, you know, for him.
I know. It's sad. But, you know, if you play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Very true. That sounds like something Colin would say.
Yeah.
One of these people that came out of the woodworks was Doris Donegan Moore, who went by Dee Dee. Mm-hmm. She launched a business with Shakespeare called Abraham Shakespeare LLC after meeting him at a business conference. Speaking about Shakespeare and Moore's relationship, the Daily Mail writes, "Moore sought out Shakespeare after he generously shared his newfound wealth by buying houses and cars for his fellow Polk County residents. As a successful businesswoman, she claimed that she didn't need his money, but wanted to help him manage his finances as an advisor."
Sure she did.
Shakespeare's friends said Dee Dee was a very aggressive woman, that she would go to Shakespeare's friends and people that he had given loans to in the past and threaten them. She became somewhat of his enforcer. She collected money, and he took kind of a step back from his business.
Yeah.
Then one day, out of nowhere, he stopped answering phone calls from his friends and family. People who normally saw him from day to day were met with Dee Dee's answering his calls. Weeks go by, and no one, including Centoria, his girlfriend, and mother of his children, and including their two children, had not seen Shakespeare.
Well, that'd tell you something. I mean, come on now. If I ain't seen my husband in how long? And
weeks.
Yeah. Like, after day two, I'm going to be
suspicious.
Like, I'm calling the police.
Dee Dee began telling people that she had helped him leave the country on a cruise to get away from all the people constantly begging him for money. But the weird part.
Why wouldn't he tell his wife? Right. Why wouldn't he take his wife?
Exactly.
Swear to God, go on a cruise without me.
We're going to have trouble.
We're going to have some issues.
God, I can't imagine what I would do to Cullen if he went on a cruise without me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care if you go without me, I don't know.
Like, well, I do.
Like, if this wasn't pre-planned, like, hey, I'm going on a cruise with the guys.
Bitch, no.
Jessica's not about it, Cullen. No. Just so you know.
I don't even like it when he goes hunting or out on his boys' trips.
Oh, you're like, whatever. See, I can't. Like, I need my space. You go do your own thing.
That's why he leaves for a week.
That's true. That's true. Y'all technically only spend 6 months out of the year together.
So I am not liking when he leaves. But anyway, she was not happy, obviously.
Obviously.
And Dee Dee was telling him he was on the cruise, but then also she was telling other people that he was in Mexico, that he was in Costa Rica. All of these different stories. During this time, friends and family would call him, but he would never answer the phone. At one point, Dee Dee told Shakespeare's childhood friend, Greg Smith, that she had been texting Shakespeare, which Greg Smith immediately found very suspicious, as Shakespeare couldn't read or write.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
Big plot twist. So, he was basically being very taken advantage of by Dee Dee because of his inability to read and write. She was taking care of his mail for him. She was doing pretty much all the business side of everything.
It's like, could his wife not do it? Like,
they're just uneducated.
Okay.
Him and his wife.
I gotcha. Because I'm fixing to say, like, ain't no other bitch going to be handling my husband's bills. I'm going to handle that shit, if anything. Yeah.
On November 9th, 2009, Shakespeare's cousin reported him missing.
And how long had he been missing at this point? How many weeks?
The family had not seen him since April of that year. So April, May, June, July, August, September, November.
October, November.
God, I can't even tell. Eight. Either way, 7 months.
Fuck that family.
Right?
Like, that my is... family waits 7 months to report me missing. Ugh. I'm coming back from the fucking dead and haunting your ass.
Right? Oh, God.
And that happened recently.
Yeah.
Like, me and Jessica checking up on each other.
She didn't even open a text for an hour, and I started freaking out. She's just driving, and I'm like, oh, she's not answering. Are you all right? Okay, what's going
usually
on?
We talk in the morning, like, first thing every day. We have this love affair, you know. We send each other good morning texts. Yes. Like, hope you have a good day at work.
Right.
I swear to God, we're such a couple.
Right?
And she had sent me one that morning, and I had immediately just gotten up and went to drive to Tallahassee to pick up Brody from his dad's house. And I didn't look at any messages or any texts because I was trying to make it there on time.
Y'all, I was worst case scenario.
And yeah, I'm she's like, are you okay?
Text messages. And is she okay?
Finally, I stopped at a gas station and opened my phone. And yeah, I was alive. I'm fine. That's good.
But yeah, that's crazy to me that his friends and family waited that long.
That shows you how they're not really his friends and family.
Well, originally they had hoped, keyword there,
mm-hmm.
that he had taken his money and was living on the beach somewhere in the Caribbean Sea. But that's pretty, that's not right. Police immediately were very suspicious that Shakespeare was a victim of foul play. One of the first suspects was Michael Ford. If you guys remember him, he was the coworker that had been sued.
With the tickets.
Yep. Saying that Shakespeare had stolen the winning lotto ticket from him, which to me is a pretty dang good motive.
That's it, yeah.
But Ford had moved to Georgia, so police went up to interview him, and he was very quickly eliminated as a suspect due to having an alibi. He was with people, so. Yeah. But there were so many people in debt to Abraham for him loaning money. And houses and cars.
I just wouldn't.
So he had no shortage. The police had no shortage. Why are words hard?
Words are hard.
No shortage of suspects. One by one, though, they went through the list and crossed out people. But there was this one name that just kept popping right on up.
Let me guess, it's that lady.
Yep, Dee Dee Mower.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Detective David Wallace. Yes, like The Office. Polk County Sheriff's Department. It said, it seemed like every rock we turned over, there's Dee Dee Moore. Then we go to the next thing. Oh, more Dee Dee Moore. Right from the start, at the Venn investigation.
Who would have thought?
Dee Dee raised eyebrows all around Lakeland. Even in the most progressive communities, it is very rare for a woman like Dee Dee Moore, a middle-aged white woman, to be seen hanging out with a man like Abraham Shakespeare, an uneducated, illiterate black man.
Sometimes I feel illiterate.
Me too. Can't talk. Even though he introduced Dee Dee to people as his financial advisor, people still thought it was pretty odd, because if you see her in the snapped videos, she is like Dolce Gabbana, fancy blonde heels, and Abraham, he is tall, lanky, skinny, tall black man with dreads who always has like one of those stocking caps on his head. You know, he's
just a good old boy.
Yeah. He's from, you know, not a great neighborhood. It's not bad, but it's not.
It's not wealthy.
Not wealthy.
Yeah. Mediocre.
So, yeah. So he's, you know, just two complete different worlds.
She sought after him, obviously. Mm-hmm. I need to watch that snapped episode.
Again. Yeah, y'all. You got to watch it. It's really
on
good.
Oxygen.
During the investigation, Dee Dee moved into Shakespeare's house and purchased multiple vehicles, including a Corvette and a Silverado truck. Dee Dee then makes a show of cooperating with police, saying that the police can come search his house, and even calling Abraham on the phone and leaving voicemails while in front of the detectives. So she moves into his house with his wife and children.
That's a little suspicious.
And it's weird that his wife and family is just like, yeah, come on in.
Maybe they just...
I mean,
some people are like that.
They trusted her, though. They did.
Yeah. Some. I mean, I like to live by myself too much.
Me too. I don't want to live... But, you know...
I don't want to live with nobody.
I guess. I don't know.
Me and my
I guess
cats if I had for kids, life.
If I had kids, maybe I would want some help, but...
I mean, it ain't that bad. It ain't that bad.
I could do it.
During the investigation, Dee Dee, she, like I said, she was just... really upfront with the police and saying, you know, I'm trying to help you. I want to be involved and kind of inserting herself.
That is the first.
That's what I was about to say.
Investigation.
That is the first telltale sign of someone who did it. Mm-hmm. They are inserting themselves into the investigation.
Yep. She also supplied the police with a video of Shakespeare walking around a room, complaining about his friends and family, asking him for money. And saying
this was premeditated
to leave the country.
Yeah, she did that on purpose. I can already tell you that right now.
She did.
She was setting it up to make it look like an accident or a not an accident. What am I looking for? Pre-planned escape.
Mm-hmm. The detectives then realized that the only person who had seen Abraham alive in the past 6 to 7 months was Dee Dee. She also called detectives multiple times a day. Asking for updates on where he was.
Yeah.
But her stories were just not lining up with what she was telling them. Authorities were super suspicious of her. And facing mounting police pressure, Dee Dee turned to Shakespeare's childhood friend, Greg Smith. She tells him that the police suspect that she killed Abraham, but she swears she's innocent. And he believes her. Because I think she's good at manipulating people.
Oh, yeah. Seems that way.
She seems so innocent. She's rich. She's blonde. She's looks
Those
sweet.
Are the best manipulators, the innocent seeming ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Dee Dee convinces him to make a phone call to Abraham's mother and pretend to be Abraham for $1,000. And he agrees to do this. And that, I just think, is completely
insane. That's wild.
Insane.
That's wild.
Like, because he believes so much that she's innocent, that he wants to help her. So Dee Dee sets up a lunch date with herself and takes his mother out to dinner. Lunch, sorry, takes her out to lunch. And she takes his mom out to this really loud restaurant that's super busy. And Greg is supposed to call her from the payphone down the street. But he's super busy at work because this is Saturday and he owns a barbershop and he's trying to cut people's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I just don't have time to go down to the corner to the payphone. So I'm just going to call, you know, Miss Shakespeare for my cell phone.
There's your first mistake.
Right.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
So he calls her and she answers. But immediately, even in a busy, loud restaurant, that could not fool a loving mother. She knew it wasn't her son from the second he says, hey, mom, it's me.
Yeah, you know your kid's voice.
Even if it's loud, yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know your, like, I will always know Brody and Lily's voice.
Yep. So the next day, she calls the police and reports that she had a phone call from someone pretending to be her son. Quickly, the police subpoena the phone records and show exactly where the phone call was coming from. Greg Smith. The detectives trace Smith's phone to a mall in Lakeland and follow him there. When they arrive, they see Greg Smith parked next to Dee Dee Moore's car.
These some stupid-ass people.
Right. Then police proceed to watch Dee Dee give Greg the $1,000 in the car,
oh
visibly.
Oh, my God. How stupid can you be?
Then as he pulls away... In his car, they follow him and pull him over. Instead of arresting him, detectives see an opportunity. And they ask Greg Smith for help. They explain to him that they have literally no evidence. And they need help. And he has an in with Dee Dee because she trusts him now.
Mm-hmm.
So Greg goes undercover to find out the truth from Dee Dee Moore herself. Over the next few weeks, Greg tries to get close with Dee Dee, acting as her confidant. Then one day, she calls him and tells him she has to talk to him in person. Greg contacts the police, and they decide to have him wear a wire. They meet at the same Lakeland Mall parking lot. The first thing, of course, Dee Dee does was tries to feel him up for a wire. Thinking quickly on his feet, Greg turned on Dee Dee and yelled, "Hey, you don't know me like that. Don't touch me." Freaks out. "Don't touch me. Don't touch me."
Hey,
don't
at least one time in his life he thought quick on his feet. Right?
Hey, this guy turns out to be great. So, he like I said, turns into defense mode.
Yeah.
"Don't touch me." And Dee Dee gets to keep her hands to herself, and she's like, "Okay, man, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend you." And he's like, "How could you not trust me after what I've done for you?" Which is pretty smart.
That's also something that someone that's about to betray your trust would say.
True, true. But, you know, she falls for it. She tells Greg that she believes someone is framing her. She thinks that something has happened to him, but she's not involved. This interaction just brings him closer to Dee Dee, and she now trusts him even more. Knowing that she may find a wire on him, he tries to think of a way to have a wire that's not on his body. So he's a big smoker.
You could always do the Rammstein thing.
What?
You know what they did in one of their shows? The guy, the singer's like the big, you know who Rammstein is. Mm-hmm. Big pyrotechnic guy. He was having like some kind of a wire for shooting flame out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And he went into his cheek, and they cut a hole in his cheek and fed the wire through his mouth.
That is insane.
He's fucking crazy, but it worked, you know? Whatever.
Well, Greg is pretty innovative, and he figures out a pretty clever way. He's a big smoker, so he rigs a soda can to have a wire inside the soda can and use it as an ashtray. Because this whole time with Dee Dee, he's been smoking cigarettes. And sitting in her car, he doesn't want to ash out of her car because she's got a nice car. She, for whatever reason, she lets him smoke.
Smoke inside the car?
I think she smokes
nice
too.
Car?
Okay. But so anyway, he takes the soda can and is ashing in the soda can and then throws the cigarettes in. So he puts the wire in the very top of the can with the little thing poking out. So he can record the meetings and put it in this center console, you know, right beside her and hear her very clearly, which is pretty smart because he just did that all on his own.
Yeah, smart, you know, whatever.
So during one of their meetings, she asks him for a favor. She asks him to deliver a typed out letter, quotes, from Abraham to his mother, which this poor woman, right?
That's sad.
Right? Which he agrees to do. Because, again, he's playing along at this point. So she has him meet at a hotel. She meets him at the door. Now, this is crazy. Now, this whole time, the police are watching from outside the door. They're watching this whole interaction. She meets him outside the door with a hairnet, gloves, and a full face mask.
That's how you kill your husband. That's so what you show up wearing.
He's terrified.
Oh, no, Thomas, I didn't know my husband was dead.
He's terrified. He's at this hotel, and he's like, "I don't want to go in here. What if she's going to chop me up?" But, you know, he says, "I just got to figure this out. I got to find out what happened." So he goes in. So he's like, "Okay, I'll help you write this letter." The whole reason is she doesn't want any... you know, hair fibers or any fingerprints or anything to be on this letter.
Yeah. Totally clean. At least somebody's thinking.
Yeah, she's trying. She's not very good at it. So she asks him to write this letter, all the while knowing Abraham is illiterate. So he just plays along. Then she rides with him as he drops off the letter at Abraham's mother's house. They put it in the mailbox, and then the police quickly retrieve it, of course. At a later meeting in January, Greg convinced Dee Dee that it's her best bet to pay one of his friends, who is really undercover officer Mike Smith with the Lake Wales Police Department, to pay $50,000 to take the fall for the murder. Mike Smith agrees to do this, but Dee Dee Moore he told Dee Dee Moore that he needed more information to be able to, you know, tell the police accurately, hey, I'm the murderer.
Yeah.
He can't just show up and not know any information. So he says, I need to know, you know, where Shakespeare's buried. And Dee Dee said that she can do better, that she has the murder weapon, a .38 Smith & Wesson revolver.
Mm-hmm.
So she gives it to them, of course. And he says, okay, I'm going to turn myself in. The police run the serial number on the weapon and see quickly that Dee Dee purchased the weapon. It's her gun.
What an idiot.
The next day, Dee Dee meets with Greg and Mike, the undercover officer, and draws a map of exactly where Shakespeare is buried, under a concrete slab in the backyard of a house in Plant City, Florida. The next day, on January 25th, Dee Dee and Greg meet up at the house in Plant City. She shows them exactly where his friend is buried. Greg has to struggle to keep his composure and not break his cover. He later said it took everything in him not to strangle her himself.
Mm. It's intense.
And he's pretending to be on her side the whole time. And this is just some dude off the streets. This is not a trained undercover guy. He's just his friend, you know? His childhood friend who's known his whole life. But he really wanted her to pay for what she had done. And it was his mission to make sure that she went to prison where she belonged. She then wanted him to burn Abraham's body. But he convinced her to let him come back the next morning before sunrise to be more inconspicuous. He then had her meet him that night at the mall parking lot. And the police arrested them both. When they got to the station, they put Dee Dee in an interrogation room and put Greg behind the glass to watch the interview. She immediately turned on Greg, of course, saying, thank God you guys came. I think he knows what happened to Abraham.
Mm.
The detective then literally laughed in her face and said, I've got some bad news for you, Dee Dee. Greg works for us.
Ooh, what was she? Ooh.
She almost passed out. She immediately started crying. And at that point, she started blaming her 16-year-old son.
Wow.
Yep. Saying that Abraham and her got into a fight physically, and her son saw him hit her, so he shot Abraham.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Right?
That's awful.
And then if turning on her son wasn't enough, she comes up with another version of the story. That some drug dealer named Ronald.
Okay, Ronald.
Killed Abraham for money. But again, none of her stories add up. And lie upon lie keeps caving on itself. Because, you know, if you're a pathological liar, you have to at least keep your story straight. Otherwise, they're just going to fall down.
Right.
House of Cards.
Uh-huh.
But instead of arresting her, police let her go.
Why?
Because they wanted to see what she would do.
Okay.
And while she was out, you know, because they told her they didn't have enough evidence. So while she's out, the police go dig up Abraham from the concrete slab in Plant City. The police found him on January 29th, 2010. The day he was killed, he was wearing a red pair of pants, a white shirt, and a black beanie cap. The police noticed that this was the very same outfit from the video that Dee Dee had supplied of Abraham complaining that he wanted to leave the country. They realized this video must have been taken on the very day that she murdered him. So turns out, Dee Dee's attempt for an alibi has become a key piece of evidence against her.
That's what you get, bitch.
Yep. Dee Dee Moore's ex-husband, James Moore, was then interviewed by detectives. James claimed that Dee Dee had called him during the first 2 weeks of April 2009, asking him to dig a hole in her yard. Dee Dee claimed the hole was needed to bury concrete and trash in.
Mm-hmm.
Then, 2 hours later, he called her back, or she called him back, to come back and fill in the hole. James, who was being paid to do other yard work by Dee Dee, didn't see the big weird thing about that, so he just did it. And he said it was pretty dark, so he couldn't really see what was, you know, in the hole.
Yeah.
Police finally arrest Dee Dee Moore and charge her and her ex-husband, James, as an accessory. They charged her for first-degree murder, and the judge sets the bond at $1 million.
Wow.
So.
Pretty big bond.
It is. Trial begins on November 26, 2012, 3.5 years after the disappearance of Abraham Shakespeare. The testimony of Greg Smith is indispensable to state prosecutors. Thanks to Greg, detectives are able to lay out their case against Dee Dee, stating with her motive, which is obviously greed, Dee Dee lived well beyond her means, and she wanted more financial stability. Dee Dee took advantage of Abraham's illiteracy and stole his fortune, but Dee Dee couldn't keep him in the dark forever. Less than 6 months after Dee Dee took control of his assets, Abraham begins to ask questions. She decides to take drastic measures so he doesn't cut her off. She brings him to his house in Plant City and opens the safe. He thinks she's going to give him his money. Instead, she reaches in and brandishes a .38 revolver and shoots him then and there.
Wow. She's ruthless, man.
Right? He thought he was safe.
You're never safe.
The trial goes on for 10 days. Greg Smith takes the stand and shows the courts how maliciously she planned this murder. The jury only deliberated for 3 hours. When the verdict came in, she stood emotionless as she found out she was guilty of first-degree murder. Dee Dee Moore is serving life in prison without the possibility of parole. Despite the overwhelming evidence, Dee Dee still maintains to this day her innocence.
Of course she does. Which is
absolutely ludicrous.
Of course.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
That's a good one. I enjoyed that. I like not knowing anything about it. That's pretty fun.
Well, good. We can keep doing that.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's obviously something I've heard about before. But
I love doing these kind of cases that are, I mean, it's known, but it's not super well known.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard of that one before. Yes. So I had no idea. It was a lot of fun. I like to do the lesser known ones. Obviously, if you have a Snapped, it's not that less than known. But I haven't seen ever. There's like what?
There's 200 like episodes? So many episodes.
It's insane. So I guess kudos to you if you've seen them all.
Right.
I used to stay home sick from school, or when I was sick from school, and watch that stuff like all day long.
Right. Well, before we go today, I've got to tell you guys about my new rabbit hole that my husband has taken me down.
Oh.
And I know you hate this one.
Uh-oh.
It's more of a conspiracy theory than a crime.
Oh.
But as Britt from Crime Junkies says, it literally gives me full body chills.
Full body chills.
Yes. It is copyright. So creepy. Yeah, don't sue us, please. It is so creepy. It's called Missing 411.
That shit, when you guys were telling me this, while we were driving through the woods.
Right?
Freaks me out.
It's so freaky. We were like turning around on some back road in some dirt road.
And we go missing
now. By the way, here's this creepy story. But anyway, it's really super crazy. And it's pretty popular. And I can't believe I never heard of it, but Colin told me all about it. And then showed me the documentary on YouTube. So there's several documentaries and there's also a podcast. But it started out as a book series by David Polides? I think it's Polides. But basically, it's about a large amount of missing people, and their cases all fit the same criteria.
That's a big nope for me.
All the cases are about people who have gone missing on federal land, specifically national parks. All the cases are also exponentially odd circumstances surrounding those disappearances. Like this one's the one that just messes me up the most. The Jared Alterado case, I think that's how it said. He was a 3-year-old boy hiking with his family in Big South Trail.
Sad.
In Colorado. One minute he's walking along with a large group, then the next minute he vanishes. I mean, he's with all of these people and no one sees him.
I told you my theory.
Bam. Missing.
Well, aliens.
It may be aliens. I don't know.
It's aliens, man. I believe they're there. We're here. It's well, there. It's Sasquatch or some shit.
Police say, and National Parks Rangers, they say it's an anal attack. This case went cold for years. Until 3.5 years later, hikers found Jared's sweater, his pants, and his shoes on a trail, which is way far from where Jared was hiking, like 100 feet up an incline, and actually nearly 7 miles.
Whoa.
But the weirdest part was his pants. The pants that the hikers found were inside out.
Oh.
They were ripped up a little bit, but it looked like birds had bitten chunks of it. It wasn't like a mountain lion where they were scratched or torn.
Sasquatch, man. Alien probes.
And the other really weird part was there was no blood, no animal hair on any of the clothes or his shoes. Also found nearby was the cap of his skull. And one
this tooth, yeah, this one fucked me up.
Just one single lonesome tooth sitting on top of a log. One molar back tooth. And he's 3. So why does he, I mean, how many teeth does 3-year-olds have? I don't know. Children.
Depends. But, like, 6-year molars. So they dug that shit out of his skull, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't
know. Oh, it's super weird. Just so weird. His father asked the question, if my son was attacked by a mountain lion, wouldn't his clothes be torn and bloody? Wouldn't his shoes be muddy and dirty? Wouldn't there be any evidence of an animal attack?
So, yeah. I mean, is there like some wild caveman living?
I don't know. In the woods? So, me and Cullen's really far-fetched idea is a wormhole.
Oh.
Separate dimension, man. They walk through.
That's a little more far out than aliens.
Yeah, like, it's pretty far out there.
You guys are nuts. I don't think so. Like, but I'm going to disagree with that.
I don't know. That's just, I mean.
Maybe, like, I don't know either. I mean, I believe in all that.
There's definitely something weird going on in our national parks, for sure.
I don't know if it's this is just
one of the very many strange cases. And it's honestly super interesting to me. So if I can talk you into it, we may do a whole episode on this.
I'm just going to talk shit the whole time, to be honest.
I don't know. It's pretty crazy. And I'm really curious to why the U.S. Park Service refuses to keep any record of missing people on U.S. land.
Well, we all know how the government is. They don't give two craps.
They told the family and anyone, and David Polites, obviously the author of this book, that it would take, I think he said, $1.4 million to make a list of the missing people.
I mean, that's a lot of missing people.
I mean, how many are missing? That's insane. You can go into any small town. You can go down right up here in Somerdale and ask the sheriff how many people are missing in Somerdale, and they'll have a list.
Yeah. But I guess in national parks and stuff, that's so big, and it happens every day because of all the hikers and stuff. I could see that, like, the man hours that. And they're cheap. It's the government. They're not going to put that time and effort.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, I could talk all day about this, so I'll stop here.
Yeah, but we're not, so.
Yeah.
We may do an episode on it. I don't mind. Like, you know, I just like to sit and listen.
Did we have any 5-star reviews?
Let's check. Let me check.
While we check, we're going to go ahead and thank our social media family who are active in our group. Like Whitney Sutton and Emily Godwin and Susanna Atkins, who I recently met the other night.
Hey, girl.
At the Handsome Seattle show.
Yeah.
She was really nice, and I really liked her.
So, hey, girl, hey.
You met her at Tiffany's wedding, too.
Yeah, but that was, like, for 3 seconds.
Yeah, true. we don't have any new on Apple.
Y'all keep it up. Come on now. We need some more Apple five-star reviews.
Spotify is weird for me. It's hard for me to... I can't see the... It won't let me see
the... Yeah, we can't look on anything other than Apple. Y'all Apple users, I know I'm a Samsung user, so I can't even go like our own podcast, but... Y'all, Apple users, come on and give us some 5-star reviews so we can thank you and send love. But to those of you who have reviewed us, thank you guys so much for your support. And we love everyone who listens to this podcast and supports us.
Yeah, true. I love it. I love all the support. It's a super fun thing to do and talk to people about it. And I like going out where we, in our social circles and
talking about it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So find us on social media. We're on Facebook at Crime Cats, a true crime podcast. And don't forget to join our discretion group so you guys can tell us, you know, what cases to do, and we can talk about this case and whatever else y'all want to talk about.
And we'd love to have like a guest on.
Yeah, we really want to do that.
That'd be fun.
We do.
So if any of you guys are interested in putting together a case or commentating. Is it commenting?
Yeah.
Commentating with me. That'd be super fun. So yeah, do it.
Definitely down to collaborate. We're also on Instagram. Stop. So find us
I don't know, y'all. My brain. It's those weird things.
It's been a long day.
Ew.
So again, on Instagram at crimecats.truecrime and on Twitter at crimecatspod. Thanks again, guys. Until 2020, we love y'all.
Aww.
And
stay spooky.